Good morning to all of you. Thank you for the applause, but I am certainly not worthy. I am wearing a robe today as a preface to our Lent, where Pastor Dan and I will be robing, but I specifically like to robe because it kind of hides what is underneath, and the only thing you can see is the robe. You may not see that my earrings don't match my blouse. I remember a pastor, a female pastor, who was preaching one Sunday, and she was on fire. She was delivering her sermon with such gusto and enthusiasm, and the only thing I could see was that she had on one brown shoe and one blue shoe. I called it to her attention between the two services, and so for the next service, she was like this. But I thank God for robes, because then prayerfully and hopefully you will hear what God has to say to us this day. Why church? We've been given many responses up to this point about why church, and I had listed them so that I could say them for you, and Pastor Dan just went right through and told them all to us, but the one I forgot was the one where we were supposed to remember. But I had all the others: fellowship, inspiration, service, our brokenness, our connectedness, and the one I love, life happens. Life happens. But today I'd like us to focus on this response to why church: because we've been invited. And not just invited, we've been invited by Jesus himself. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 46. Hear the word of the Lord. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the evening. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've been invited to many events in my life: parties, concerts, clubs, games. Did y'all miss that one? Clubs. Yeah, I've been to club. I know how to party. That's who I'm going out with next week. But usually, every time I've been invited to go anywhere, I never really wanted to go. I would reluctantly say yes. And then when it was time to go, I'd come up with some excuse not to. So even though I did a thumbs up here and I'm ready to go, I'm really not. I'm really not. During my first year matriculating at Louisiana State University, I was asked almost every day, "Come check out the music room." My friend sensed my hesitation and said, "Just once, come and see." So I went. I didn't have any excuses. I was there on campus all day between classes. You know the routine. It was a squared off room with wall to wall to wall people. I listened to two songs. Then I asked, "Now what?" She said, "This is it." My mind was screaming over the loud tunes, "This is what?" I slowly eased myself to the door and I never went back. One game, one concert, one too many. Now, I know there are those of you who like games and who like concerts. That's all good time. It's fun. But I'm not your girl. I was always disappointed and ended up every time either in the library or in the science building or for me in my adult life at home. I'm a homebody. Anybody else in here homebodies? Just rather be home than anywhere else. Yes, Jonah. His mama says, "Put your hand down. You know you're going out tonight." Here I am. But none of my friends' invitation to come and see and none of these activities held me captive. None made me want to go, or even after going, wanting to go again. I was like that with pretty much everything, except church. Yet I had never been invited to church. It was just a place where we went every Sunday. It was habit. It was routine. It was what we did. I had not had that personal encounter with Christ, but I was here every Sunday. I don't know about you. I don't know about your life. I don't know if you have ever had a personal encounter with Christ or if you've been invited to this place, or if you just show up here. Sometimes if my mind goes blank and I'm driving, my car would always end up home, or I would end up at church. Those are the two places. But I just never had, in all that time, experienced this one-on-one with the Christ. And I don't even think I was doing anything deliberately to journey to that end. I was surviving Sunday to Sunday. And as Pastor Dan said in one of the sermons, then life happened. And as I got older, I began to wear life's happenings like clothes. I was working as a home care nurse, and even though I remained cordial on the outside, one of my patients saw the inside. And God's Spirit compelled her to invite me to her church for an evening revival. It was not Sunday, so at first, that did not compute. Service? During the week? During the evening? Did I want to go? No. But it was the way she invited me. The way she presented the Lamb of God. Like she really knew the Christ. She said, "Come and see. Come and see." I heard her just like the disciples did when John the Baptist exclaimed, "Look, look here, here is the Lamb of God." I don't know if you know that story, but before worship, they would always go into the field. There were special shepherds. These were the shepherds that they went to at Christmas time to get that news to say the Messiah was born. But they went there. They got these lambs from there. These lambs were bred specifically for this purpose of worship, to be sacrificed on the altar. But John said, look, as he pointed to Jesus, he said, look, here is the Lamb of God. After which the disciples were enthralled. I went to the revival. The sanctuary was filled with candles. The service began, and it all seemed so typical until the altar call. I went up slowly but deliberately, and with each step, I felt every burden I was wearing being shed one at a time. My abusive mate, the sin I put on myself concerning the thoughts, the idea, and the conclusion of divorce. My own reactions, my own actions, my own inactions to and regarding this person I called husband. And once at the altar, I felt free. Behold the power of the Lamb of God. God was freeing me, reminding me of God's claim on my life. And I went to a counselor even to get hold of these thoughts, this idea. And he said to me, this is not the life that God has intended for you. Take it back. And at that altar, I felt God's reclaim on my life. I felt a warming of my heart and my soul like John Wesley, and I had that assurance that all my sins were forgiven, those of the past, those of the present, and those that were yet to come, because we are not perfect. But all these sins were forgiven. This was the power of the Lamb of God. I was enthralled, and like the disciples, my next question in my spirit was, Lord, where are you staying? Where do you abide? Because that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be always. And Jesus said, come and see. I invite you to the table. I invite you to the table, and there you will be with me, and I will be with you always. The table of my body, the table of my blood, here I am. In this celebration, remember, I am with you always. Jesus is ever present in the bread and wine. And this statement, with this statement, I was reminded of my school days, with every first Friday going to Mass at St. Louis Cathedral, right outside Jackson Square. This is if you've been in any cathedral, you know how immense they are. And I'm just a child, no taller than I am now. But I walked in this cathedral with all of its statues and all of its candles burning, and I knew that a lot of archbishops were buried underneath my feet as I'm walking in this holy place. And I just took it all in. And I noticed a red light near the altar. And when I was brave enough, I asked, What was the light's significance? There's a red candle there, right next to the body and blood of Christ. What is the significance of this red candle? I was told that this light is there to show that the tabernacle contains the consecrated elements. Jesus is present in the tabernacle when the light is on. So I thought, and I concluded, if the tabernacle contains that which is holy, and if I consume that which is holy, then there should be a red light blinking and flashing somewhere from within me after I consume the Christ. At that point, I must be holy. I am holy. Christ then abides in me and I in him. We become one with Christ at the table. Jesus lost many of his disciples as he was trying to teach this very concept. You can read about it in the 6th chapter of John, and I invite you to do that. But here is just a part of what Jesus said. He said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Oh my God. Such a difficult teaching. Some of the disciples left. But to those that remained, Jesus turned to them and he said, "Do you wish to go away too?" I sense such vulnerability in the Christ at that very moment, and it pulls me, it draws me even closer to him. He says, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We were invited to come and see. We have come. Do we wish to remain? Do we wish to be enthralled by the Christ? To remain with him, him in us, and us in him? Not in a physical place, but in a spiritual space. A space of peace, a space of love, a space of compassion, a space of joy. For me, a space of freedom." The disciples were so glad they had found the Christ, but in actuality, it was the Christ who had found them. And because of their thrall, this power Jesus had over them, they were excited and anxious to invite others. Just like my patient had invited me. But Philip approached Nathanael and said, when he approached him, he said, "We have found him, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And we know Nathanael's response. He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But I read a little bit more in that question, and it asks, "Can anything good come from us? Can anything good come from me. I can't speak for you. But there is this hymn, this song that stays in my heart as a part of remembering. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, loved am I, forgiven am I, in this space am I. Can anything good come from me? Can anything good come from you, from us? Come and see. Within this holy space of Christ, we're invited to heal. Within this holy space of Christ, we're invited to hope. Within this holy space of Christ, we're invited to be reconciled with God, to be able to stand face to face with our Creator. Within this space, we're invited to praise and worship, to find purpose in our lives, to love, to be forgiven, to forgive, to be inspired and to inspire others to anoint and to be anointed. Pastor Dan said last week, he referenced me anointing one of our members on his deathbed, but that is not the only time for anointing. We are also anointed for service. We are anointed to even be in this space. Just like the disciples, as we come and see the life and love of God in Christ, we too want to stay and remain in this heart strangely warmed holy space. Do we not want that? Do we not want that? Surely. Surely we all want that, to remain in Christ and Christ in us. We can search our whole lives, coming to church every Sunday, sitting on a pew, and never find the Christ, never find rest. It is until we are found that we can rest in the Christ, abide in the Christ. St. Augustine of Hippo said, "You have made us, O Lord, for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And Jesus said, "Come to me." Another invitation. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As you come to the Christ, you are found by the Christ and of the Christ. Why church? Because here is where we are found. Here is where we are found. Here is where we find rest. And here is where we want to remain in Jesus. Why church? If anyone asks you, please respond. Come and see. come to this place. Come and see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 21st through the 22nd verse, it says, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting his seal on us and giving us his Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. Pastor Dan and I are here this day, and we want to put this first installment on you. We want to put the holy mark of God on you. We want to anoint you to be in God's service. So if there is one who wants to come at this time to be anointed, Pastor Dan and I invite you to come.